A certain dog had always boasted of his ability as a runner. Then one day, a rabbit that he was chasing got away. The dog received a lot of chiding, a lot of ridicule from the other dogs because of his previous boasting. But his explanation was this. He said, "You must remember that the rabbit was running for his life. I was only running for my dinner." You see, the dog could get another rabbit, but with the rabbit, it was all or nothing. In Luke chapter 9, verses 23 through 25, Jesus said, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will save it. What good is it for someone to gain the whole world and yet lose or forfeit their very soul?" Most of us hold back due to a variety of reasons. Most of us don't give ourselves fully to most anything. We've learned to restrain ourselves, and that has its place. But Jesus tells us that when it comes to our relationship with God, half-hearted allegiance to God is not allegiance at all. Jesus wants the kind of devotion the Apostle Paul expressed in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, where he said, "I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said, "You can't serve two masters." There can be no divided allegiance with God. We're going to look at four areas where many try to do right, but often stop short of complete submission to the Lord. It's a hard thing to completely give your heart to the Lord, but that's what's demanded if we would please Him. That's what's demanded if we would live a life of fulfillment. That's what's demanded if we would have a hope of heaven. In trying to be acceptable to the Lord, some try to merely be religious without following revelation. In trying to be acceptable to the Lord, some try to serve God with faith without works. In trying to be acceptable to the Lord, some try to conform to God's laws and teachings without giving Him their heart. And in trying to be acceptable to the Lord, some try to make it to heaven by morality without Christ. Many people think that if you're just a good moral person, this will be enough to satisfy God. Many think that if they just do more good things than bad things, this will tip the scales in their favor when they stand before God on the day of judgment. Over the decades, some of the most popular preaching from Billy Graham and others has dealt with morality. In chapter 2, verses 11 and 12, the Apostle Paul said that the grace of God teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age. In chapter 3, verse 8 of Titus, Paul went on to say, I want you to stress these things so that those who've trusted in God may be careful to devote themselves to doing what is good." Preaching on morality, preaching on what is right and wrong, is a good thing, but morality alone is insufficient. Robert Schuller passed away a little over 5 years ago. He was a famous preacher, televangelist. Much of Schuller's focus was on never offending anyone's self-concept. For example, he said, "Sin is any act or thought that robs myself or another human being of his or her self-esteem." Schuller also said, "There is no greater damage that can be done than to refer to the lost, sinful condition of man." Of course, the Bible has a very different view of sin. The Bible teaches that sin is the transgression of the law. The Bible teaches that sin separates us from God. In Isaiah chapter 59, verses 1 and 2, we're told, "Surely the arm of the Lord is not too short to save, nor his ear too dull to hear. But your iniquities have separated you from your God. Your sins have hidden his face from you so that he will not hear." In Romans chapter 3, verse 9, the Apostle Paul said that both Jews and Greeks are all under sin. That's everybody. And in chapter 3, verse 23, Paul said, "All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." And in Acts chapter 2, verse 38, after those on the day of Pentecost asked, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" the Apostle Peter told them to repent of their sins and to be baptized for the forgiveness of their sins. In Acts 22, verse 16, Ananias told Saul of Tarsus to arise and be baptized and wash away your sins. Some people insist that if they are just good moral people, they will go to heaven when they die. The Apostle Paul didn't say that all men are immoral. He said that all have sinned, and sinners need a Savior. Morality without Christ will save no one. And many try to please God by having religion without revelation. By revelation, I mean God's revealed word. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6 says, "Without faith it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he is, and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him." This passage tells us that it's impossible to please God without faith. But the Bible tells us that faith comes by hearing the word. Romans chapter 10, verse 17 says that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The New International Version says it this way: faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word about Christ. Many religious people are serving God according to what they think God wants. They serve God on their own terms. They don't appeal to God's word for what they believe and do. They do not appeal to revelation. I have a 16-year-old nephew who was talking to a friend of his at school last year. They were discussing a hot-button topic, and my nephew told him that particular behavior was sinful. His friend said that it was not. My nephew said, "Do you believe the Bible?" The boy said, "Yes, I do." My nephew said, "If I can show you in the Bible where it says that's wrong, will you believe it?" The boy said, "Yes, I will." My nephew opened the Bible and showed him a passage that clearly identified that activity as sinful. And the boy said, "I still don't think it's wrong," and turned and walked away. Regardless of their claim, when people respond this way to clear Bible teaching, it's not the Bible that they believe. It's themselves that they believe. We are living at a time when truth is what you want it to be. We are living in a culture where truth is the new hate speech. But in John chapter 8, Jesus said, "The truth will set you free." And in John chapter 17, Jesus prayed to the Father to set his followers apart by the truth. Then Jesus said, verse 17, "Your word is truth." Being religious without following God's revealed word will save no one. Then there are many who seek to be justified by faith without works. If someone tells you they are an avid runner, there are certain things you would naturally expect. You would expect to find clothes and shoes in their closet that support their claim. You might expect to see certain books and magazines laying around in their house. You would expect them to be running perhaps at least around 20 miles each week. There are things you would expect if someone claimed to be a devoted painter, or a devoted fisherman, or any number of things. Though being moral alone isn't enough, the scriptures and common sense tell us that if a person has faith, it will be making a change in his life. If anyone claims to be devoted to God, it's going to show in his behavior. In James chapter 2, verses 14 through 18, James writes, "What does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith, but does not have works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, 'Depart in peace, be warmed and filled,' but you do not give them the things which are needed for the body, what does it profit? Thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. But someone will say, 'You have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works.'" James was writing to Christians, and it was just a few verses later in verse 24, the same chapter, James very plainly says, "Faith without works is dead." Thomas Edison once said, "What you are will show in what you do." Someone else has said, "If you were accused of being a Christian, would there be enough evidence to convict you?" Faith without works does not save. And one of the easiest things to do is to be guilty of conforming without the heart. One of the easiest things to do is to conform religiously, to behave religiously, to act religious, to go to church services regularly, all while not giving one's heart fully to the Lord. People who conduct themselves this way do not begin this behavior intentionally. They start attending services with a genuine desire to do right. They may become a Christian with every intention to serve the Lord with their whole heart. But as Jesus described in the parable of the sower in Luke chapter 8, some people receive the word with joy when they hear it, but they don't have deep roots in them. They believe for a while, but in the time of testing, they fall away. He described others as those who hear the word, but as they go on their way, they are choked by life's worries, riches, and pleasures, and they do not mature. In Matthew chapter 23, Jesus issued a scathing rebuke to the scribes and Pharisees because they were willing to engage in all kinds of religious activities, but they were not willing to let God reign in their hearts. In verses 13 and 14, Jesus said, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you shut up the kingdom of heaven against men, for you neither go in yourselves, nor do you allow those who are entering to go in. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you devour widows' houses, and for a pretense make long prayers. Therefore you will receive greater condemnation." They kept the law to the dotting of an I and the crossing of a T. They tithed even the tiniest of herbs, mint, anise, and cumin. But Jesus said they did so without having justice, faith, and mercy, in verse 23. In verses 25 through 27, Jesus said they cleansed themselves on the outside, but inside they were full of extortion and self-indulgence, full of dead men's bones and all uncleanness. Then in verse 28 he said, "You outwardly appear righteous to men, but inside you are full of hypocrisy and lawlessness." He was saying, you are practicing outward religious conformity without giving God your heart. Speaking of the same people on a previous occasion in Matthew 15, verse 8, Jesus said, "These people draw near to me with their mouth, and they honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me." One can clean up his life for religion, can clean up his life for religion without really giving his heart to God. One of life's greatest difficulties is achieving balance. It's too easy to be bent toward extremes. All of us have weaknesses, and our natural tendency is to lean toward those things that come easy and to resist the things that are difficult. Let's be careful that we don't give ourselves to becoming moral without truly serving Christ. Let's be careful that we don't devote ourselves to being religious without being devoted to God's revealed word. Let's be careful that we don't find ourselves having a faith without works. And let's be careful that we don't find ourselves conforming to religious practices without truly serving God from the heart. On one occasion, in Mark chapter 12, verses 28 through 33, actually 28 through 30, a scribe came to Jesus and asked him, "Which is the first commandment of all?" Jesus answered him, "The first commandment, the first of all the commandments is, 'Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength.'" The Lord wants our wholehearted submission to His will. He will be satisfied with nothing less. The Lord says, "I want you." The Lord says, "Give me your heart."